Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Jessica Tai, and in for Greg Matzik, it's Telly Hughes.
Happy Friday, everybody. Remember that mysterious Giannis post right before the Miami trade?
Yeah.
How can you forget it? We were all wondering, like, what does this mean? Well, now we know. But we tracked down the man behind that photo that Giannis posted. Wait until you hear his story. That's coming up in just minutes.
Here's your top two at two on Wisconsin's Midday News.
We have some breaking news just coming in. The death toll from the pair of powerful earthquakes in Venezuela this week is now up to 920. 920 people killed. The new update just in says more than 3,000 have been hurt. And this just gives you an idea of how quickly these numbers change when you have a situation like this and you have people just digging in the rubble to try to find people. About 2 hours ago, the numbers were nearly 600 people killed. Now we know that number is 920. And I have a feeling it's going to go up even more. The U.S. is surging military assets right now to help in Venezuela after the earthquakes this week. Two U.S. Navy ships and aircraft in the Caribbean have been assigned to support the operations. Alan Chung lives in Venezuela, and he watched as the earth started to move.
At the end of the road where I was, a building collapsed. Cracks were appearing in the front of the buildings. Everyone was terrified.
Searches continue this afternoon for survivors right before the show, and I've been taking a couple peeks throughout. I've been looking at the live coverage, and you can just see the number of people who are there right now trying to also help and dig in the rubble is incredible. They've got big construction pieces of equipment out there. They're just racing, trying to find anybody, desperately trying to find anybody who is still alive. Coming up on Monday, Chef Greg Leone of Amelinda in downtown Milwaukee will join us. He grew up in Venezuela, and his dad is still there, living through all this right now.
Number two, Jessica, Brewers manager Pat Murphy is recovering after undergoing back surgery on Thursday. The good news, Murph says he doesn't expect to miss any games. As a matter of fact, he plans to be back in the dugout tonight as the Brewers open their home stand against the Cubs. The 67-year-old says the surgery became necessary because the pain got so bad he couldn't live like that. He had a ruptured disc in his back. Murphy will undergo a second procedure on his hip during the All-Star break. Where he'll have a little more time to recover. Back surgery on Thursday, back in the dugout on Friday.
And I can only imagine how much discomfort he was in with a ruptured disc.
Yes.
Man, but two surgeries a summer. He's the man.
Yes. And you also got to think about, Jessica, all the amount of time you spend, not just in the dugout, but in airplanes and uncomfortable positions where you're traveling a lot. I know that had to be extremely tough on Murph, but he's definitely a trooper.
When you're traveling sometimes and you're squeezed in those tight spots, your back can hurt even if your back doesn't normally hurt.
Exactly.
It is 2:13 coming up. One photo, one cryptic caption, endless speculation. Hear from the photographer who didn't know he was about to become part of the biggest buck story in history. Just before the news broke that Bucks superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo was headed to Miami, he put a post out on social media. It was a simple but powerful black and white photo of himself with a message that had all of us wondering, what exactly is he saying? It read, God, I trusted you at the beginning, and I will continue to trust you throughout. Well, we found the photographer who took that picture, an image that will now become a part of Giannis's history. Michael Janko of Janko Productions joins us live in the studio. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
So what was it like to watch one of your photos suddenly become a part of one of the biggest NBA stories of the year?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it was a completely surreal feeling. You know, at the start of this, I didn't think, like when I started shooting for the Bucks, I didn't think it would really take off or anything like that. I thought it would just kind of gradually go on. And then to see, you know, I was in the gym and I'm scrolling through Instagram and then I was like, holy crap. I saw Giannis post my picture and I was like, wow. And then I was refreshing it and it was like 100,000 and 200,000, 300,000. And to know that like my picture is kind of a part of history, it's like it really is a surreal feeling.
Wow. Michael, when you started to hear, I mean, of course, following the team and following Giannis and knowing that this could be a reality one day, mm-hmm. that he's no longer a Buck, did you start to put more emphasis on or concentrate more on certain pictures that you would take of Giannis, knowing that these could be final pictures of him in a Bucks uniform?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, really, every night, it's almost like studying for me. Like, I would go late night and just edit and whatnot. And then, you know, with superstars like Giannis and whatnot, like, the picture automatically looks better just because it's a superstar like that. So then going through and then continuing to post and whatnot, it was just like, and knowing that he was leaving, I was trying to get a little more of his attention, you know, like, or not knowing he was leaving, but knowing the possibility that he could be leaving, I was trying to get his attention a little more, kind of, and see where it was going from there. So, yeah.
So almost everybody has seen this picture in this post. But in case you haven't, we do have it up right now. Giannis's post with your picture, Michael, up streaming for people who are joining us on YouTube or on social media as well. It's an awesome shot.
Yeah.
Can you take us back to the moment when you captured this picture of Giannis and what made you snap that shot at that very moment?
Yeah. So that was at it was the Bucks versus the Charlotte Hornets game in the NBA Cup. So with that, it's like with the arena, during timeouts, like the lighting is always pretty cool because it's always like spotlight. And, you know, I always try to get like single player shots where it's like just them by themselves. And I was sitting maybe behind the Bucks bench about, and he was walking away. And just to see him kind of like in that moment, you know, it's like I'm always pointing my camera everywhere. And, you know, I got that shot. And yeah, no. I'm very glad I was able to capture that moment because I didn't think that shot would really be as big as it was. So.
Yeah, and how's the process of editing down which pictures you want to keep? Because I'm sure you take hundreds of pictures in one
thousands.
Night, and
thousands.
Or thousands,
Yeah.
And when you go back and you look through them, what is the process of figuring out, okay, this is the one as opposed to, I could probably get a better one?
Yeah. One of the big things I look at is the crop in the picture, you know, the detail, the emotion, and then just kind of see, like, does this picture tell a story? Because I always try to have my pictures more than just a picture. I want people to look at it and, like kind of understand what's going on in that moment. So just to kind of see, like, the emotion on the players' faces or, like, if they're back turned. Like that, with the black and white especially, you can't see any logos. You can't see anything. It was just, like, Giannis and his jersey, and that was it walking away. So just kind of throughout games like that, though, I always try to get different emotion and whatnot and then try to, like, with my post, I always try to range throughout, like, pictures with, like, the basketball or versus without it and, like, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, no, there's a wide range of, like, what kind of goes into it to make sure I find the perfect photo. Because usually I'll take around 3,000 pictures a night and I'll leave with, like, in my folder with about 200 and then I'll post 20. So it's kind of hard to take 4,000 pictures and put them into 20 for a post.
Sounds time consuming.
Yeah,
yes.
Oh, no, it is. Yeah, taking the pictures, like, at the games is only a fourth of it. You know, when I go home, if I really dedicate my time, I get back maybe 10 o'clock, I can really get the posts up by like 1 or 2 a.m. So, yeah, no, it's hours. So.
We're talking with a sports photographer, Michael Janko. He took the picture that Giannis posted right before the trade heard round the world. Why do you think Giannis or somebody from his team, at least, chose that photo instead of the thousands of others? I mean, there's so many options that he could have picked, but they picked your photo and that one.
Yeah. No, so because me and my friends were talking about that. I was trying to figure that out, like, why this picture? But what I noticed is that there's no logos in the picture. There's no fans. That picture could have been taken in any arena for all you know. It's like you can't really see anything except Antetokounmpo on 34. So it could be any jersey, any arena. There's no, like, so there's really not much going on besides Giannis. And especially it's almost like, I'm not sure if that's how he was kind of viewing. He's like walking away into the shadows where it's like no face, anything like that. So I think that's kind of the thought process. Cause I was thinking, like, if this is his farewell post, I mean, the guy won a championship here. He has like thousands of pictures of himself that are just beyond good. So yeah, I was just trying to figure out, I was thinking about that, why he chose that photo.
So was the photo, was it altered at all? Was it initially a black and white photo of yours? Or?
No. So that picture was originally in color. I had originally posted it in color, but then I took it down and posted it in black and white. Just because I think with black and white photos, some of that, like, sometimes it looked like it adds more of a dramatic effect to it. So I think with that, it definitely added more of an effect to it.
It definitely did. And I'll tell you what, I was looking just to make sure, because I saw something that said you were the guy and then I reached out to you. But I thought, I want to double check this. So I'm going through your photos myself to find the original.
Yeah.
And then I found it and I was comparing the two and I was like, that is it. I mean, I was looking at the lines on the bottom that is just really cool.
Yeah. I was just thinking, you mentioned your friends and how you may kind of talk to them about pictures. Are there any times where you take a picture and be like, that's that's the one, mm-hmm. and it ends up not hitting as much as you think it should versus when you take a picture and be like, oh, that was okay, and then it ends up blowing up, and you're like, oh, man, I didn't think it was going to do that.
Yeah, so with social media, I kind of learned a lot this season. When you're posting in your first picture, you kind of have to post a superstar as your first picture, because like I've posted other players that are like not as big as Giannis, and the post has done a lot worse. But like I had the opportunity to go out and take pictures of LeBron out in Phoenix earlier this season, and just with the first picture being LeBron, that post blew up, and it wasn't even like it was a good photo, but the photo could have been at anyone else and it wouldn't have done as good. Mm-hmm. But with those like kind of superstar players, it automatically draws the attention more of the other players or other fans and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So.
If Giannis had called you before he posted and said, I'm about to make the biggest social media post of my career, which photo should I use? Would you have picked that one?
Not that one. I have a one. So, because without the or with the arena, with the media pass, you can walk everywhere and whatnot and like sit wherever you want as long as there's an open seat. So my favorite spot to sit in the arena is like right behind the basket, right on the baseline and whatnot. So there's one that he had where he had dunked, and then afterwards he was like screaming and flexing. And I've posted that picture maybe four times, like just in different crops and different editing and whatnot. It's my favorite picture I've ever taken of him. And honestly, that picture I really do like, but it wouldn't have been the first one to come to mind as far as like, yeah, I would have used that photo for like, okay, like I really want to get my name out there. So there's been a couple though where it's like, having the opportunity to shoot my favorite player in the NBA, like throughout the year, there's been so many pictures where I look at and I'm just like, wow, like that is a pretty cool photo. So yeah.
Yeah. So you said you would have probably picked another one, but because Giannis picked that one, do you kind of look back on it and say, yeah, that one is pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's always like if a player posts it, it always like it means a lot more to me, the photo, than if I post it myself, because like the fact that they saw a lot more in the picture, especially superstar like Giannis. I mean, the fact that during amidst all this and that like how big that picture did, it's like the fact that he chose that photo. It definitely the picture means a lot more to me now, and I've paid a lot more attention to that picture.
Mm. And you've been a Bucks fan for a long time, so I'm curious what this means to you personally because of that, and also. So business-wise, do you think this is going to help your business?
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, growing up as a fan, you know, like getting to watch Giannis grow from like kind of skinny kid to like the player he was, I mean, leaving here, it's like it really was surreal, because I started photography about 2 years ago, and I didn't think I would be in this position.
That's crazy that you only started 2 years ago, because your stuff is good.
Mm-hmm, I appreciate it. So just the fact that, the fact that he kind of used that photo and whatnot, it was like, and then just seeing the growth of whatnot from like my, because I learned a lot more about editing and whatnot throughout the season, seeing the growth of everything throughout the season, and then knowing that, like, especially I'm a huge, like you said, I'm a huge Bucks fan. Maybe the season prior when I wasn't shooting games, I think I went to about 27 games. So just being able to go to these games for free and whatnot, it's just like, it really is a cool gig to have.
Yeah,
so.
That's a dream job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's awesome. What a great story. I'm excited for you. That's Michael Janko of Janko Productions. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
We're coming up on 226. Up next, it's your local news and top national headlines from ABC. You know I said it. Remember, wherever or whenever you're listening, know we're streaming live on YouTube as well. You can watch the show. So when these great Summerfest songs are going and I'm bouncing around at the studio telly, people can bounce in and see us as
That's
well.
That's right.
Summerfest has always been just my favorite time of the year, because you add those new elements with the music in, and I love just about every genre. Do you have a favorite?
No, I like the variety that Summerfest gives you. It doesn't matter what genre you're into, they're going to have an artist and a popular one for you to go check out.
So if you do want to see us dancing here during the commercial breaks or whatnot, you can watch the show, see what's happening inside the studio, and comment along with us. Just search 620 WTMJ on YouTube, and you can subscribe today. Back to Summerfest. One of Summerfest's biggest bookings this year takes the main stage tomorrow night. We got the inside scoop on how the big gig landed one of those popular musicians in the world, Post Malone. Summerfest has tried to get Post Malone for at least 6 years, but there was always that one thing.
Posty has his birthday around the 4th of July. Posty likes to take time off to party with his friends, so it's never been possible for us.
Until now. Post Malone is a main stage headliner at Summerfest this year, and the VP of Entertainment says it's because they never gave up.
This was the year where the phone rang, and they were all excited to say, we think we can fit you in. So it's like you're planting a lot of seeds all the time.
You're the sunflower. You're the sunflower.
Besides his music, Post Malone is known for all those tattoos on his face.
Yeah.
He has more than a dozen.
That is... It sounds so painful.
Do you have any tattoos?
I have one, and the short, interesting story about that. I got it my first week in college, thinking that I was an adult now, and I was still only 17, and that's been the one regret I've had. I have
one regret.
I mean, because it didn't mean anything. It was just getting a tattoo
what
just
is
to
it?
Say.
Do you mind me asking?
Oh, no, I don't mind. It's just a panther head, and I just thought it was cool, and that was the reason why I got it. And now looking back, well, not just now, but looking back on it, I was like, well, if I'm going to get a tattoo, make it mean something or have some type of saying. So that's why I say it's my only regret. But I haven't gotten a second one.
So did it hurt?
No, it did not hurt.
I feel like a lot of people say that.
Yeah,
Frank has a tattoo. Gina has a couple tattoos. Yeah, yeah, oftentimes I hear people say that.
Yeah, they
don't
hurt.
On your face, though?
But I was going to say, I don't have any on my face either, so I don't know about that.
Well, so if you're not that into Post Malone or you don't know exactly who Post Malone is, you might have seen him with all the face tattoos. The one I get a kick out of the most, he has under one eye, it says always, and then under the other eye, it says tired. So you look always tired. That just cracks me up. He also has a large sword and barbed wire tattooed on his face.
Yeah. I just always think about this, Jessica, not just the here and now. You walking around with always tired when you're 65 years old. I don't think
you
that's going to be as
tired
cool.
At that point, though, right? I don't know. I know some of you in your 60s are listening right now going, I'm not tired.
Yeah.
Text us. Let us know. I want to hear that.
Yeah, but you also don't have tattoos underneath your eyes either. So, well, at least.
In a couple of interviews, I was just looking to see, like, what's the deal with all the face tattoos. He said he got all the tattoos because he was insecure about his appearance. So he apparently gained confidence by getting tatted up.
Oh, wow. I guess that's one way of getting confidence, huh?
Post Malone, Posty, performs at the AmFam Amphitheater tomorrow night. He takes the stage at 8:30. Stories of the Strange, up next.
Oh, you'll be left in the dust unless I stuck by.
It's Friday, which means it's time for Stories of the Strange on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Well, how badly do you want your sunglasses back? Apparently, this badly for one guy. A California camper dropped his shades into one of those campground vault toilets. Into a toilet, Telly. He dropped his sunglasses into the toilet. Gross. And the ones at the campground, At first I thought maybe it was, some campgrounds you just have a hole. It's just like a hole out in the woods. But this is one of the vault ones, so it's, you know, more like a real toilet, I guess.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. The man climbed into the toilet, Telly, to go get his sunglasses.
Oh, gosh.
And it did not go well.
Yeah.
Why would it? How could it go well? But it's even worse than you might imagine. This guy got stuck inside the toilet vault. Firefighters actually had to rush out. They had to rescue this guy. And then everybody, I guess, had to be decontaminated before being checked out at a hospital. And officials say the moral of the story is simple. If your sunglasses fall into a vault toilet, just leave them. Just buy a new pair. I have no idea what brand these were, if they were expensive.
He really wanted them.
But he wanted those sunglasses. I mean, there are things I would do. I might reach into the toilet. I would not climb into the toilet.
Yeah, especially because just to let listeners know, we don't discuss our strange stories before this the segment starts because
you didn't pick this one too,
I had this one as well.
You did?
Yes, because I felt like this
I thought
was,
you had something different.
This was crazy, but I do have something different, and you know, as a backup, so I'm glad I did prepare.
Okay, good. Okay.
And this comes from a couple that set a Guinness World Record for the most vow renewal ceremonies in 30 days. And one of the ceremonies took place at a Wisconsin water park.
They just kept renewing their vows?
They just kept renewing their vows and trying to figure it out over 30 days. So they had held ceremonies in Idaho, Arizona, Las Vegas, North Dakota, and Utah. And so apparently it was Wisconsin's turn, and after exchanging vows, the couple took six trips down the water slide in the ensuing hour to attempt to set a new Guinness World Record
for the
most trips.
Which water slide?
Down a water slide. So this took place at the Wisconsin Dells.
Was it the plunge? Did they go down the plunge?
It was at the Land of Natural Water Park. They didn't say...
Not
which
Noah's
one?
Ark,
okay. But this was a 60-foot water slide.
Oh.
Now, the catch is the bride went down this water slide in her wedding dress.
It still fit. How long ago did they get married? Do we know?
We don't know how long they've been married.
Long enough for them to decide that we want to renew our vows, I guess.
Yes.
And do it for 30 days.
Yes. And do it at Wisconsin Dells. And so those six trips, that wasn't the record down the water slide. It was the six trips down a water slide in a wedding dress in 1 hour.
Oh.
So
who thinks of this stuff?
That's what my thought was. If you think about this, my mind doesn't go straight to, could this be a world record? Let me go to the Guinness Book of World Records and see who has done this.
And that's so serious. I mean, you have to have people watching to make sure that this is all legit.
It's verified.
It's a process.
Yes, absolutely. So on a day where the bride typically doesn't want anyone within 50 feet of their dress, you decide to go down a water slide six times in less than an hour.
Sounds uncomfortable. No, thank you.
Very.
Did you write your vows?
I did not.
Or did you just do the traditional?
I did the traditional. Yeah. Did you write yours?
I did. I wrote them the night before, which some people might be like, what, the night before? I think my husband wrote them the morning of. That's just how we roll.
Wow.
The thing is, like, I live on a deadline, so to me...
You just couldn't do it, like,
I didn't. And so it worked for us. I asked Greg earlier this week, I can't remember how it came up, but I said, did you write your own vows? And he said, I just talked.
Yeah.
So we'll have to find more about that next week.
Right.
Okay, two very strange stories. I like that. Stories of the strange. Always a little happy moment on this Friday. It's 2:52. One more time. I really love today's show because on this Friday, we had a couple of local people who just kind of highlighted the week that we had. We had local wood artist Ike Winter, who talked about gifting Giannis this piece of art that is not just a basketball, it's not just a shot of Giannis, this piece that is so memorable from his childhood of a very tough moment. We also had local guy Michael Janko. We tracked him down. He's a sports photographer. He's the one who took the picture that Giannis posted about the trade, that post that went out, and everybody thought, what is this? What is he trying to say to this? Well, now we know, right? It has been a big week. Of course, now that we know that our Bucks superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo has been traded to Miami. And just as we end this week here, Telly, you've been in sports, in the sports world for so long, too. I mean, you got to know Giannis, too.
Yes, yes. I was with the Bucks sideline reporter the year that Giannis got drafted. And just to see him from day one to the end of his tenure as a Milwaukee Buck, this whole week, it kind of have made me reflect not just on his career, but some of those personal moments that you remember that no one else was around. And you know that, wow, that was very interesting. Like the first time yet Giannis got to the Milwaukee Bucks training facility, which was the old Cousins Center in St. Francis. Giannis, so whenever you are a rookie, you don't have a shoe deal. Well, most players don't. But whatever shoe company is sponsoring the team, that's the shoe company that sends those rookie shoes. And this was in a time when Nike was the sponsor of the Bucks, and they sent Giannis about maybe 10, 12 pair of shoes, practice shoes, game shoes, and things like that. So Giannis promptly put them in his shop and put them in a shopping cart and was rolling it out to his car.
Oh.
And someone stopped him like, wait, man, you could keep that here. Like, it's all good.
We've got a spot for you.
Yes. And he was like, no, no, no. I want to take it to my crib and put it in my closet and set it up like MTV Cribs.
Oh,
so that was like one of the first American shows that he saw. And just think, you're in a new country and you're like, do everyone lives like this? Or like, yeah. How does that go? And another very kind of touching one, and a lot of people don't know, like Caron Butler and OJ Mayo just OJ Mayo. When Giannis got here, he didn't know how to go and get furniture or anything. He barely spoke English. Yeah. And one day after practice, OJ Mayo took him to a furniture store and furnished his whole apartment.
Oh, wow. I did not know that story.
Yes, yes. So it's things like that, I mean, people don't see that. You're just like, wow, like that was a transformative moment for Giannis. And he's forever grateful. Every time he sees OJ, he gives him a huge hug and things like that because he remembers those things.
So great. So many great stories regarding Giannis from today's show. Also, we had the managing director for Newland Enterprises on talking about the first new condo being built in downtown Milwaukee. The plans for it. There haven't been condos built in Milwaukee in a long, long time. So that's a major change. Also, in case you missed it, you can check out our podcast. We had Scott Zielon, VP of Entertainment for Milwaukee World Festival, looking ahead to weekend 2 of Summerfest. Have a great weekend, everybody.